See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi, everybody.
And with us as well is Catherine Horan.
Hello, hello.
So we're all here on a wonderful, what is this episode, 149, Joe?
149.
149. And I am here to tell you that,
is that a prime
next
number?
Episode is going to be our Malort episode. So please stay tuned for that one as well. Hopefully we're going to have a good episode ahead of us for that one. I have a feeling it's going to be fun, but we're doing a little something special for episode 150, so hopefully we can make it as fun as we were hoping it would be. So
I'm sure everything will go off without a hitch. There will be no problems, technical difficulties, no nothing.
No
surprises,
no
either.
No problem with the game or anything, or I'm sure it'll be fun. No.
Smooth as can be.
I got it, guys. Smooth as can be. I got it. Everything's going to be tip-top shape.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's going to be a quick one, too. Like, maybe 40 minutes tops.
Yeah.
It feels appropriate.
It should be about right. Yeah.
For some trivia?
I timed it. It should be about an hour long.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, that will be perfect for the Malort episode, because we were not going to be really talking about any movies. It's really all in Mark's hands, Joe. What could go wrong?
His capable hands.
I got it, guys. Seriously, it's not a problem. I've been working hard on it.
Yeah. Anything? Anybody has any? Oh, actually, we do have an announcement.
Oh,
we have a huge announcement.
Oh yeah, we do.
Because this episode's coming out on Friday, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Right? And
yes.
So we just secured a partnership with the Sugar Mint Gallery in Pasadena, California, for our CineScare Horror Film Festival. And so if you're not from the Los Angeles area, you might not know what the Sugar Mint Gallery is. But it's an amazing gallery. Actually, it's an art gallery, but it is pretty much always centered around horror movies because it is right next door to, in fact, the way that the houses are situated, it's really basically the backyard of the Myers house, the original Myers house from the 1978 movie Halloween. So it's not on the same street as it was shot then. They moved the house. In fact, I don't think we've maybe talked about this before, but they were getting rid of all the houses in that neighborhood to build, I think, the freeway through there, I think is what it was for. And just some guy, he was a chiropractor, I believe, he saw that house was still standing, and he had the foresight to think, no, we can't let the Myers house be destroyed. And this isn't really even like, I mean, the movie hadn't become quite as iconic as it is now. I think he moved the house like in the 80s, maybe. I don't remember. But they moved the house, and he had no place to put it. So what he did is he put it on public land, railroad land, basically. And there it sits, and there it remains, sitting on right next to some railroad tracks. And it is now, I believe it became that chiropractor's office, or was a chiropractic office for a while. And then it was a lawyer's office. And now I think it might have something to do with real estate, or I'm not sure exactly what they do there.
Strode Realty.
Strode Realty, yeah.
What?
It belongs in a museum.
It belongs in a museum. It does. So anyway, it's right. So the Sugar Mint Gallery is right next door to that. And so they have backyard movies at the Sugar Mint Gallery all summer long. So I talked to her Michelle has had several pieces of her art at this gallery for various shows. Right now they're doing Coraline, and they've extended it because it's been so popular. They actually extended it. They were supposed to do another round of Over the Garden Wall art right now, but it's been so popular that they've extended the Coraline exhibit. And Michelle is sold out of prints over and over and over. At any rate, they do backyard movies during the summer, and I thought this would be a great location for our first year of our film festival, not knowing, you know, we don't have any, not knowing how many people are going to come to the festival and all that sort of thing. So I thought, you know, it would be great. And a lot of filmmakers would love to have their short film shown right now. Basically, while you're watching, I can post pictures of this, but why? Because we went to a backyard showing of Frankenstein this last weekend at the gallery. And while you're watching the movie, the Myers house is looming in the background, right just past the screen. You can see it, like you just glance over and there's the Myers house. So if you are a filmmaker and you have a short film, or you have an idea for a short film and you want to shoot it over the summer, and then submit it to our film festival, we are on filmfreeway.com. Look up, it is now called the Sugar Mint Cinescare Horror Film Festival. And look that up and submit your film to our festival, and you could have a chance to have your movie screened right in the backyard of the Michael Myers house. So we're very excited about that. It's a huge opportunity and a great way to show your film. So
sounds like the perfect location too.
Yeah, perfect location. And it'll be on the festival itself is going to be on November 7th. So it's a week after Halloween. But there's always people. You can go as long as you don't disturb the house. They don't want you going up, you know, trying opening doors and stuff. As long as you don't disturb the house, you can take photos on the porch and everything out in front of the house. And so you can do that. I mean, year round, but there's always lines of people lining up to take their photo at the Myers house. There's often people show up dressed as Michael, you know, or whatever, for you to take a photo with them. And so I highly recommend just going there anytime, but for our film festival, for sure. So there'll be more information on that as we get closer, especially in terms of ticket sales for the festival itself. But in terms of you filmmakers, please, if you have an idea and you want to shoot it this summer, a little short film, do it. Get out there. It's never been easier to make your own short films as it is now. That everything, the editing software, the cameras are all fantastic. You can really do it if you put a little effort into it. So, and we have several categories. There's animated, there's super shorts, there's shorts shot on iPhones, a lot of different categories for what you might be interested in. So that's my big announcement. So I guess we can move on to what did we watch recently, Joe? What have you watched recently?
I actually took some advice from you, Matt, which I do from time to time. It's usually sage. And I started watching The Burrows, liking it quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm only two episodes into it. Need to get back to that. Yeah, I think we're only two or three ourselves. We need to get back to it. Yeah.
But the first two are riveting. I'm loving them both. I'm loving Gina Davis. I hope her parts get bigger as we go on. But that one's tremendous. People should check that out. That's on Netflix. Last night, before I went to bed, checked out Seven again. Don't know why. But I just did.
All of that, you put on Seven?
I had a very long day. I put on Seven. And because earlier in my day yesterday, I was watching In Search of Darkness.
I know. I need to get on that.
And I got onto that whole section where they talk about how in the 90s, things weren't called horror movies anymore. They were called thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 naturally came up, so I figured I want to revisit that. And sure enough, it's not really a horror film, despite the fact that we did an entire episode on it. I think it's misclassified myself. I think that should be considered a horror film.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, and then speaking of non-horror, I watched, or I finally finished Spider Noir, and I have been able to watch it in color and black and white. And I got to say, I'm a bigger fan. I know I'm going to be the outcast here. I like the color episodes. The colors are so brilliant and vibrant. Yeah, it's just kind of fun watching it. I feel like I'm watching an episode of like The Cat in the Hat or something. You know?
Yeah.
It's very cartoony and over the top, which I think goes very well with Nicolas Cage's performance, which is very cartoony and over the top. So, but it was a decent series. I'm glad I watched it. Nicolas Cage didn't bother me one bit. So,
wow.
High praise.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then
there's, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to touch on Spider-Noir. There are like certain episodes that I've been seeing that's like what to watch in black and white and what to watch in color.
Right.
And like the first two episodes, they say watch it in black and white. And then like the third episode, definitely watch it in color. And then, or like the next, the third and fourth, watch in color, then go back to black and white. And I think the last two, I think they say watch it in color. Like,
yeah, I think in total I watched 2 or 3 in black and white.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to see if I could tell a big difference, but I couldn't. And then I haven't even watched this yet, but I'm going to watch it because I want to bring it up to see if you guys have ever seen it. I'm sitting here, I have IMDb up, and it's playing a trailer for a movie. It's not even horror, but do you guys remember from 1986 a movie called FX?
Yeah. With Brian
Dennehy.
Right. Yeah. Good movie.
Brian Brown, Brian Dennehy. Yeah. I haven't thought about that movie in years. So when we're done, I think I'm going to put that on. It was such a
great
film.
Movie.
I wanted to learn how to do special effects makeup so bad just because of that film. So it's
and
on
Brian
Tubi.
Brown's great because he's from Cocktail.
It's on Tubi and Prime Video in case anybody else wants to follow my footsteps and watch it. So
I think that's I will.
Seen that in years.
Mark, what did you watch?
Well, I went to see The Furious.
Was it good?
Son of a bitch. No, Matt, I didn't see it because I...
That's right.
You went into the future.
That's right.
I went into the future. I saw it on TikTok, the trailer again. I'm going, God, it's like, man, I can't wait to see that film. And I just immediately go to the Marcus Addison theater.
Marcus.
And I went to the website. You know, I just clicked on... What did I do? I went on IMDb and I clicked on the Furious for Showtime's IMDb. For it. Right. And
it
said, oh, it's
doesn't
showing
have Showtimes.
10 after 10. They have Showtimes for it.
You not on IMDb. On IMDb they do.
Right. And so anyways, I pressed on Showtimes and then boom, there it was. It's playing a 10 after 10, I get in the car, I get off work, get in the car, drive all the way to the theater, and then I get a text from Joe. It's going, wait, that's not showing until the 14th or something. And I said, no, wait, what? And I looked, and I was like,
wait a minute. It's not showing until the 14th.
It's not showing until the 14th.
Isn't she a big fat person? It's the 12th, actually.
The 12th. Anyways, I was really pissed off, and I was like, well, fuck. So I either could watch Backrooms or I could watch a Scary Movie. And it was immediately, the consensus was, go see Backrooms. So I went to see Backrooms, and I enjoyed it until the last part of it, and it just went all downhill. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was fun to watch, and it was really tense and exciting until I don't want to ruin it, but let's just
say no spoilers.
Yeah. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have not. Both my kids have, but my question is do you think you should run out and see this in the theaters or wait for it to come streaming?
I would say streaming.
Yeah, you can wait. You could wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of the consensus at our household.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great premise. Mm-hmm. It's done really well at the beginning. I was like really zoned in, and then it kind of fell apart at the end for me.
Mm.
So
when it becomes security camera footage, is at that time, is that where you start to fall off?
No.
Oh.
I didn't mind the ending. I liked it. I thought it was good. I don't think it's as good as anywhere near as good as Obsession. It's not even in the same league.
No, not even close.
As that or Hokum. Like Hokum and those two are head and shoulders above everything else I've seen this year, including this. But I liked it. I thought it was good. I don't know. I guess we'll have to talk off the air or without Joe around off the air also about, or we can wait until Joe sees it or whatever. But I didn't have any problem really with the ending. And I thought that the chase stuff with that pirate creature thing was really cool. And I thought that there were some pretty creepy moments with that whole thing. But
that was my problem with it. It was the Captain Crunch. That was my problem.
I thought that was really effective. I loved that. That was probably my favorite part of the movie. But I and the ending itself, you know, the way it ended and everything, I didn't have any problem with it. It certainly leaves itself open to more, you know, movies and sequels. What did you think, Catherine?
I liked it. I thought it was a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of dream logic feel to it. It has some moments that I've even had in dreams, and it was kind of a little uncanny seeing that on the big screen. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The camera shots were great. You know, how all that was done.
Yeah,
it's definitely a movie I want to see again, because I feel like this is one you could watch several times and get more out of it each time you watch it.
There's a lot on here, too, that, I mean, I don't know if you guys had the same experience, but when we went, it was sold out the weekend. I mean, its opening weekend was sold out. And
oh, wow.
We had a huge crowd there, and it was a lot of young people. So I think it's really connecting with the younger audiences. It's I don't know if I'd call this gateway horror, because it's certainly not, it isn't you know, meant for kids necessarily, but it does come from that creepypasta stuff and a lot of, I think that a lot of people who are in their teens and 20s have a connection to it from the creepypastas and all of those online, you know, kinds of horror that kind of took on a life of its own. Along the same lines as what Five Nights at Freddy's sort of had that too. But I think this is probably more of a faithful rendition of it, whereas Five Nights at Freddy's was, I think, more, they were just trying to make a mainstream movie. But this felt like, you know, A24's interpretation of that. And so I thought it was really effective. I thought it was a really good, you know, very good movie. I don't think it's, you know, in the same league as Obsession at all, or Hokum for that matter. But I, you know, like I said, I'm looking around, it was a lot of teenagers there, you know, a lot of younger people were there, and they were definitely this. I think this movie they were locked in, and that I think that's what's driving the sales of this thing, because it is really taken off. I mean, Obsession has broken. Right. I mean, I think it was the first movie since E.T. to increase in sales for every week for the first 3 or 4 weeks or whatever it is. So Obsession is had a huge.
It's so fun to watch. It's just, I'm so happy this is happening, you know, for this director and just for horror alone. And I mean, it beat The Mandalorian and Grogu in its second week, like
at a $700,000 film.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, suck it, Disney. It's like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a culture change because, I mean, we even started off the year with Iron Lung. You know, that had a groundswell of fans that came from gaming and YouTube. And
right.
You know, those independent artists are all getting their voices heard now on the big screen.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Like, yeah, I really think that there's this new thing happening that, like, right in front of our eyes that I think is going to be talked about in horror documentaries and whatnot of what's happening, like, with YouTube and all this kind of stuff. I like, this is kind of like a generational, like, wave in horror that's happening right in front of our eyes. And it's really exciting to watch. So, like Matt said, if you want to, you know, make a little independent film, like, do it now. This is the time to start doing it.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a great time. If you have an idea, just freaking make it. So yeah.
And what's the harm?
Yeah. Might as well.
Mark, you'll have to let me know eventually how The Furious is. I just checked.
We all know what Mark's doing this weekend.
I just checked every single movie theater in the Quad Cities, and it's not coming here.
Are you serious?
Joe.
Because although the 12th, it's Disclosure Day.
Oh, yeah.
Spielberg film. So that's like 90% of the screens. And if it's not that, it's the RuPaul hit Stop That Train.
What?
I don't know. It debuts that the same thing? Day. It is. It looks like a movie. It's called Stop That Train with RuPaul and Jujubee and Brooklyn Heights and
what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, movie. Joe. You can't watch it. I mean, you have to wait till streaming.
Like, the closest theater, like, I'd have to drive about 45 minutes to go see it. I don't
know if I'm going to do that. I think it might. I mean, I've driven 45 minutes, you know, just got 4DX.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, too.
It looks amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, I have a few people on Letterboxd who have reviewed it, and it's got good reviews.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We should hear from Catherine.
Anything else, Mark, that you saw?
No. That's okay.
Catherine.
Yeah. So in addition to Backrooms, we're making our way through The Burrows as well. I think we only have 2 episodes left, and I really like this series. So if anyone out there hasn't watched it yet, please do. It's really good.
Mark,
and then
watch The Burrows.
Yeah, watch The Burrows. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are we whispering?
I don't.
Because I'm mad.
And then on Hulu is the movie Psycho Killer, which came out earlier this year.
That's right.
Okay. Like, I like how it started, but like the first half I thought was pretty good. The second half I was just like, this is not where I thought this movie was gonna go.
I like the character design, and that's literally all I know about this film.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be kind of a modern day Silence of the Lambs, and it wants to be that, and it doesn't quite get there. And then I watched a movie on Shudder called Heresy. You need something, if you need something short and sweet, it's only an hour, and it's a
so right? Perfect.
I know. It's a Dutch horror movie.
What's this on?
I think it's on Shudder.
Hmm.
And it's a medieval Dutch. Huh? It's in Dutch. You got to do the subtitles. But it's an interesting little film, and you know, deals with kind of the typical themes of the patriarchy, and it's this woman who can't conceive a baby, and so the town's kind of rejecting her because of that, and she ends up going into the forest and meeting up with some forces that may be good, maybe bad. But yeah, it's a knife. You need something short, this is a great movie to check out. And that's all I watched.
It's only two.
I also watched In the Search of Darkness
again.
It's great.
Did you see the pre-order for the 70s one?
I did. I might get in on that, actually, Catherine. But it's Matt, I'm telling you, if nobody's around and you got some time on your hand, it will suck you in, and you don't want to turn it off. You won't want to turn it off because it's perfectly paced and you just keep going and going. Just let alone looking at the VHS cover arts every time they introduce one of the films. I do love that.
When they zoom back and you see like 20 of them on the screen, like, oh, I wonder which one's next.
Yeah, which one are they going to pick? Which one? And
then
it's the one right next to it. That's what I want. That's what I want. But God, is it so much fun to watch. A glorious 6 hours and you could just pause it, get some food, sit back down. It is absolutely fun. And there's so many little tidbits that I never knew about. And they got the actors and actresses, you know, interviewed, and it's like, I love it so much. And I haven't even seen all of it. Like there's 280 parts, there's 290 parts. We got the 70s coming in, and I love it. It's such a joy.
The last one I watched, I just remember them zooming out and I kept seeing Killer Tongue. The artwork for that on there. And then they actually covered it. Oh yeah, it was on there. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then they spent a couple minutes talking about it. So
yeah, I gotta check that out.
You do, Matt.
Matt, if you do, because I haven't done this, but if I turn it on again, I haven't watched all of it. It's way too, I can't sit for 6.5 hours. Yeah. Next time I do turn it on though, I need a tablet of paper and a pen.
Yes.
There's so many movies you're like, oh my God, I need to either rewatch that or I've never seen this, but this looks good.
Or it'll make a good pick.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
I guess, you know, other than Backrooms, I don't think I watched anything else in our homework or whatever, but I saw Frankenstein this weekend at the Sugar Mint Gallery, and of course it's fantastic. I still get a kick out of Fritz, the Igor character or whatever in the first one is actually called Fritz, and he with his little fire torch, and he keeps like he figures out that the monster doesn't like fire, and so he's basically harassing him constantly with that torch. And then they did a double feature with the Bride of Frankenstein as well, and so because we were going to be waking up early in the morning to go zip lining, we didn't stay for the whole thing of The Bride of Frankenstein. We only stayed for about, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of it, almost half of it. Because these movies are only like 70 minutes long. It's I always forget that they're pretty short. But the pacing of them that makes it feel like they're a longer movie than they are, because those old movies kind of had a slower pace to them. But I do want to say that... in terms of TV shows, we need to get back to we do need to get back to The Boroughs, but also I know I talk about it every episode, but God damn it, the Widow's Bay is just so goddamn good. Joe, are you caught up on that?
No,
it's so
good. I'm still three episodes in.
Well, I haven't even started it.
You know how you know how they have been referencing a Boogeyman character.
Yes.
That was the last episode, and it's a full-on slasher episode, and it is so, like, I was exhilarated through the whole thing. It's so effing good. I told Michelle, I was like, oh my God, this is a full-on slasher, and it's just pure joy. This series is just pure joy. I can't recommend it enough. It is the best thing I've seen all year. This is the best TV show I've seen in I don't know, a long time, and I think it's the best thing I've seen all year. I absolutely love this show. You've got to watch it if you're not. It's on Apple TV. So you've got to subscribe. It's worth it. And if you haven't, I mean, really, if you don't have Apple TV, then you've got to rent it, or you've got to subscribe to it for at least a month so you can watch this show and knock out all of Severance too, because Severance is you know, amazing. It's those two shows. Now, Apple TV doesn't have a lot of shows that I think are great, and I haven't checked out a lot of them, but my God, those two shows make it worth, what, $10 for a month to rent that or to subscribe? Like, get it.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah,
You probably spend more of that in rentals in a week, let alone, you know, for a month of content.
It's true.
So, but it's so strong, and it just, there is not every single episode. They're only like 30 to 40 minutes long. There is not a weak episode. There's no filler episodes. There's no filler moments of in any of the episodes. It's just pure joy. You got to watch it. And then, I think that's all. From, we're continuing to watch From, and at this point we're just trying to get through it. Although the last episode, I will say, was pretty good. So, yeah, I think if that is it, then our episode now is Catherine's. So Catherine, take it away. What were your picks?
All right. So this is Malpractice Makes Perfect. So all of these are doctorish themes. So thought we'd start in order of release, and we'll start with Dr. Giggles from 1992. In this one, Dr. Giggles, a madman who believes he's a doctor, comes to the town where his crazy father was killed and soon begins murdering people and becoming infatuated with a teenage girl who has a heart condition. So this was written and directed by Manny Cotto, who's a director and producer for a lot of TV. Things like American Horror Story, Dexter, 24, Star Trek Enterprise. It's an early movie for Holly Marie Combs of Charmed fame.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's start with Matt. What did you think of Dr. Giggles?
This one was okay. I didn't love it, but I think actually all three of these movies, I kind of felt, had a similar feeling about. They were all okay. You know, I think this one was probably my second favorite of the three. Let me think here, because you had the dentist, Dr. Giggles, and the surgeon. Yeah, and this was the second, my second favorite. One of these movies I did not like at all.
I have a feeling we're all going to not like that one.
I really kind of easy
on that one, Catherine.
There's one that I almost stopped. I didn't almost stop watching. I just kind of stopped paying attention to because I couldn't see a lot of what was happening. Yeah, but. This one I thought was pretty good. Not bad. Holly Marie Combs, I never saw her in Charmed, but I did see her. She was on a TV show called Pretty Little Liars, which I got into a number of years ago a little bit because people I worked with were really into it and talking about it. So I kind of felt like, oh, I got to watch it. And it's not a great show. There's some things that were very, very questionable about this. They had a teenage high school girl having an affair with one of her teachers. And it was set up in a way that we're all supposed to be rooting for this couple. Like it was. And she was the mom of the girl. And so anyway, but she was very bland in this. She was kind of, there was just sort of nothing to her in this. And like, even when Dr. Giggles had her strapped to the table, it didn't seem like she was that concerned about it. She was young, you know, maybe she just didn't know how to act yet. Was she already on Charmed by the time this was made, or was
this
Charmed?
Was before. This was before.
This was before. Yeah. I figured because she looked younger. She looked really young in this, and I don't know how old she really was, and she's a small person anyway, but she looked like she was mid to early or very early teens, but maybe she was older than that. But it was a little uncomfortable with her. Let me see my note. I really didn't take many notes on this one, but the incidental music I did notice seemed really intense through this. There was a lot of like extra music on over scenes. And then there was a point where this guy, where the boyfriend, where one of the boyfriends of a girl wants his mom. Did you guys catch a weird subtext with him and his mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom's lingerie.
Yeah.
Wear my mom's lingerie. And then were those pictures he had on the wall? Were those of his mom in bikini and stuff? Like, and the girlfriend.
I didn't see that part. It was.
And the girlfriend like gets mad, and I'm thinking to myself, is that his mom? And then the girlfriend looks at, he goes to the bathroom or whatever to make himself more comfortable or something. And the
he's
girlfriend
gets a condom on.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. So the girlfriend goes over to the wall and like in a jealous rage rips one of the pictures down and throws it. And I'm like, but that's his mom. There was this weird subtext there that was almost unspoken, but it was there. All right. And I got some of my mom's lingerie, you know, I don't know.
Don't worry, she won't miss it.
She won't.
Yeah,
that's not the problem here, buddy.
Yeah, it's not.
The problem is not that your mom's going to miss her lingerie. It's that you want your girlfriend to wear it for you. And then it felt to me at the end, like when the I guess it's her love interest, who had been cheating on her, by the way.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. When he's fighting Dr. Giggles, she doesn't seem that concerned with getting away. Like she got stuck behind a table and I couldn't figure out what was keeping her there. It was very strange editing on that thing, but this movie actually looks pretty good, I thought. And, there were a few one-liners or whatever, but, not great one-liners, but you know, I mean, well, he had a lot of one-liners, and then I didn't write down the girl's one-liner at the end, but this was okay. I think that the guy that Larry Drake looks crazier than he acts. Mm-hmm. Like if his acting could match his kind of unsettling demeanor that right. he just physically has, that it would be a lot better. But he really, you know, he's in terms of acting, he's not a great villain to me. So
what about Darkman?
I haven't seen Darkman actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. But in this, maybe it's just this.
It's not horror, Mark. I'm looking it up right now.
What, Darkman?
Sam Raimi. It's such a good film.
It's not horror. It's not. There's got to be a horror in there, like body horror or something.
No, it's dark comedy, superhero, action, sci-fi, thriller.
Fuck.
But Liam Neeson is in it.
Oh god,
Sam Raimi wrote it.
Yeah, I forgot that he was in that. I forgot that Larry Drake's in that.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I have heard it's good. I'm not big on, you know, superhero things, but I'll check it out.
Definitely different type of superhero thing.
Let's see, Mark, what did you think of Dr. Giggles?
Yeah. He should have kept his hands to himself. Laughter is the best medicine. Checkout time. I mean, those were the three punchlines immediately went off in the first 3 minutes of Dr. Giggles, and it just keeps going and going and going, throwing taglines, just trying to make it stick, just trying to hope for a Dr. Giggles part two, make it happen. I mean, if you watch the trailer, they're going for like a franchise, dude. That's what they were swinging for.
Well, it was based on a comic book, which I didn't know and found very interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Huh. But is it, I mean, but honestly, like Dr. Giggles is one of those, like, you know, very well-known horror films. It's out there. Like a lot of people just know what Dr. Giggles is. I actually never saw Dr. Giggles ever in my whole entire life. I always knew it was there. I always remember the VHS cover with the mask and the blade. And I mean, it was iconic, you know, but I mean, Larry Drake is, you know, Dr. Giggles. And I'm just like, eh, you know, I just remember him from, well, what TV show was he?
LA
he
Law.
Was like, was it LA Law?
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah. But he's special. He's like autistic or something like that, or I'm not quite sure, but I mean, that's LA all Law.
He was. Yeah, that's right. He was. He's some kind of special needs.
And
yeah.
I think he won like an award or something for that. I'm not sure, but I think he got recognition a couple times for that role, or at least once. But
I remember thinking when I'd see Dr. Giggles at the movie or at the video store, like I remember thinking it was going to be a more intense movie or like a more hardcore.
Well, the cover looks scarier than the movie is.
I kind of felt like it was going to be like a disturbing or super gory movie maybe, but it really isn't.
No. I did enjoy the scene where, when the little kid, pops out of that corpse. I mean, that was a neat, interesting, you know, and it was in black and white. It looked really good. And, think so?
No, I just remember that scene. Yeah.
Just coming out. He's got the little kid snaggle tooth. And he's like hissing at him or giggling. And I was like, wow, that was actually a good scene.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. My problem with this film was the boyfriend, and he becomes the hero when all you want for this to happen is, that good, young rookie cop who's saving her life at the end. And then he dies at the end and the boyfriend gets to be with the girl when he was making out and cheating on her. And I was like, this piece of shit's going to be the hero. I hated that. That should have been reversed. I wanted the cop to save her and the boyfriend could redeem himself by getting killed or something, instead of the boyfriend like showing up at, you know, in the end and kissing her and the heart rate just goes up. And I was like, what a shitty ending that was.
You want to know what the note I have on the boyfriend is?
Yeah, go.
He sounds more like Christian Slater than you do.
Shut up! What the
fuck? Singer! Hold on.
He doesn't sound like Christian Slater at all.
Yes!
Pick your waitress.
Well. By the way, the boyfriend, I remember him from Roseanne. He was the older, not Darlene, Becky's boyfriend that actually they married on the show.
Oh, the one that died?
Yeah. He died of heroin. Spoiler overdose.
From 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He passed away like in 2009 or something like that of a heroin overdose. But which is tragic. But that's the brakes. But no, I mean it's fine. I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. But
no,
it's. Nice little check mark. Dr. Giggles saw it.
Yeah, definitely. What,
exactly.
Wasn't oh my God, it's like that sucked.
Right.
I had a good time watching it. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Joe, what did you think?
All three of these movies are pretty, I've seen all three of them at least once. I think this is the second or third time for Dr. Giggles for me. He's got more snappy one-liners than Schwarzenegger did in the Batman movie. The other thing I think is really creepy in this film is when the dad remarries, or if it's his girlfriend or something, Tamara, I think is her name, or Tamara, can't remember which. There's 8 years difference between the daughter and the mom, and that's just a little creepy for my taste. I enjoy the humor of the cops in that local town. When they go break up all the kids necking up at Inspiration Point, they start singing or playing "The Party's Over" over the loudspeakers, which is very nice. I've noticed in all three of these movies, and it might just be this time, you know, like the 90s, lots of continuity errors. I know, like what Matt was talking about before, when the girl dresses up in her boyfriend's mother's lingerie, she's got stockings on in one scene, and then she gets cold. She goes to check the thermostat. She walks from one room to the next, and all of a sudden, the stockings are gone. Mm-hmm. They need to not only check the thermostat, but they got to check the freezer too, because when Tamara goes to dish out some ice cream, it is just like milk. It is just soup.
Yes, I noticed that. I'm like, hell? What?
You guys might want to turn that freezer down a little bit more.
Yeah, no kidding. What is it, your fridge? Yeah.
Yeah. I will say the score of this film is better than the film itself. I love that driving, haunting 90s synthesizer. Like, it really did a good job setting the mood. Unfortunately, it was the film didn't support it. All of these films, well, maybe not The Dentist, but certainly Dr. Giggles and The Surgeon, the hospitals and every room, it's so dark. You cannot see anything going on in any of these scenes. I was watching one of these on our television in our living room where there's a little bit of glare coming in. And it looked like the television was just off. So I don't know what it was about lighting dark rooms in the 90s, but the gentleman, John Vickery, who plays Dr. Chamberlain, he's just a poor man's Kyle MacLachlan, if you ask me. Like they almost look identical, but like there's no way he doesn't have the acting chops. And at the end, she's so weak that she can't stand, but she has no problem loading a weapon and discharging it into the doctor. That seemed weird. So speaking of one-liners, so at the end we had take two and call me in the morning, and is there a doctor in the house? Did we really need both of these in right. this movie?
No.
Fuck.
The answer to that question is no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't love this movie, and I didn't hate this movie. I liked all three of these movies the same. And I can probably say, along with the others, this is probably the last time I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the only one of the three I'd seen before. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's kind of campy. It's silly. Got some nice moments. I did like, you get the one scene with the little kid. He's playing Dr. Mario. And Dr. Giggles comes in and sees him playing it. What is it he says?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But
fatality or fatal.
Something like that. Oh, yeah.
Fuck. There's so many of them.
I thought that was kind of a fun little touch. Yeah, I wrote, Dr. Giggles only speaks in one-liners.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's silly. It's, you know, it's a C average movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice. Like you said, it's nice to check it off. You've seen it. You know, it's,
yeah.
You know, it was one of the time. Okay. Now let's move on to everyone's favorite movie, The Surgeon from 1995.
Yeah.
So in this one, a small boy witnesses his brother being killed in surgery, grows up to become a monster with a scalpel. So this one's got a stacked cast for what it is. For a movie I'd never heard of, all these people are in it. You've got James Remar, Dexter, Oppenheimer, and It, Welcome to Derry. You've got Peter Boyle, Malcolm McDowell, and Charles Dance. It's like, how did they afford all these people? Oh, wait, they didn't spend money on lights for the movie. That's how they afforded these people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Let's start with Mark. Mark, what did you think of The Surgeon?
This is my second out of the three.
Favorite?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like this more than Dr. Giggles.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean.
How?
I didn't think it was that bad.
He took a nap.
You watched the black screen for an hour and a half.
What are you talking about?
There are whole scenes that you couldn't see the actors at all. I sent a screenshot of, or I took a picture I took of my TV. Yeah. There's a whole scene where they're having a conversation and we can't see their faces. Like it's
I didn't rent it. I watched it on YouTube.
Is it brighter on YouTube or something?
Yeah, it was Joe Bob Briggs.
Maybe he got a better quality version of the film.
Maybe.
Yeah. It was bright. I had no problem seeing
anything. Maybe
I'll
have to watch it again so I can see it.
No, I was seriously considering adjusting the brightness of my television, like jacking it all the way up just to watch the film.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was really dark.
So I don't want to screw with the settings.
I watched it on YouTube because I said, oh, I wonder if it's on YouTube, because sometimes it's on YouTube. You always got to check YouTube. And then it was on there. It was Joe Bob Briggs. And it was.
Was this a rental?
Yeah, this was the rental one.
Oh, okay.
And so then, Mark found it on YouTube for free.
Yeah. And you didn't tell us? We had to rent it. You were just letting us rent it.
I paid $3 for this movie. I paid
$3. It's $1.99.
Or that was $2.99.
I paid $3 for it.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, you could have helped us on that one.
Then
we should just skip Mark.
Mark actually saw the movie.
Yeah, I saw the movie. That's
true. He's the only one of us.
I guess so.
Maybe that's why I enjoyed it, because I saw every scene.
Yeah. It didn't help not being able to see it.
Is it me, or did this movie seem like a Tales from the Crypt episode, though, with the music? I mean, I felt like the music was just swaying so it sounded like a Tales from the Crypt episode with the music, just even during the dialogue that music was going. I love the line, should we try 350, you know, like doing the gigawatts, and she says she's a woman, not a horse. I was like, what fucking line is that? She's a woman, not a horse.
And then they end up cranking it up to 350.
No. Which she I thought was dumb. She stopped it.
No,
she
says, and so they started lower, and then they had them increase it, and then they had them increase it. And I thought the last one was back at 350.
No. Just they started said, there. They said, should we do 360? And she says, nah, she's dead. Speaking of this actress,
okay.
Look, a movie is only good as your lead, and this lead actress wasn't good, at least at acting. She was atrocious. Neither of the leads
were any good. My God. James
Remar.
Well,
the other actor, he's okay. I've seen him in some... I mean, this guy was supposed to be Hicks in Alien. In Aliens. And he had a little drinking problem, and James Cameron... booted him off and got Michael Biehn from Terminator, and thank God for that, because who doesn't love Michael Biehn? But yeah, that guy was supposed to be Hicks. He's done some good films here and there. I think he was in Tales from the Dark Side movie. It was the last one with the gargoyle. I think he was the lead actor in that. But Malcolm McDowell killed literally or practically in the first like quarter of the film. I hate it when, you know, you see like a big actor and he's just doing it for a paycheck and then he's just off. It's like there was no reason for Malcolm McDowell to be even in this movie, let alone just to have his name in the movie and just to get people to watch it. Oh, Malcolm McDowell's in it, and he's dead, literally. He's got, like, maybe 4 minutes of screen time, maybe 5 minutes, and that's it. So, like, why? Just hire an actor. It drove me crazy. Crazy that Charles Dance was in it. That was, I was like, wait, holy shit?
Yeah.
I was like, because I love Charles Dance. I just love hearing him talk, and at least he was in out throughout the whole entire film until the very end, and he died. So yes, Joe.
He looks so young.
I know. Like,
yeah, he looks really young.
First on screen, I'm like, is that really him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was. It's so nice. I just love Charles Dance so much. So I mean, that's another reason why this is in, you know, my top two out of the three of these. But this guy is basically John McClane of a horror movie. This guy is in the scaffolding in the air ducts, and he's like above in the ceilings. Were you guys able to see that at all, or
not really?
Not really.
Talking about
holy shit, really?
I kind of stopped paying attention after a while because I just couldn't see what was happening. It was so bad. It was the worst worst lighting I've ever seen in a movie by far.
You guys got to check out the YouTube it with Joe Bob Briggs. It's
no.
No you're desire. Not gonna do it.
No.
Pass.
I didn't like what I was hearing,
guys. I think you would have enjoyed it as much as I did if you could actually see what the hell was going on, because it wasn't that bad of a film. It's just the guy kept coming back, and he's sticking himself with this spinal cord fluid, I don't know, whatever you call it, and he was regenerating himself, and he was kind of like a Jason Voorhees. By the way, did you guys watch the trailer for this film?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. They're saying the next Jason, the next Chucky, the next Freddy Krueger. It was
the surgeon.
The balls on this fucking movie. It was great. I had a really good time watching this. Great pick, Catherine.
Oh, good. I'm glad somebody liked it.
Glad somebody saw it, obviously.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Shit.
Joe, what did you think?
I have a question, and this is an honest to goodness question. Can someone name a good Malcolm McDowell horror film?
No.
Okay.
Because
Clockwork Orange,
Halloween. No, because it's
Clockwork Orange, but yeah,
it's not horror.
Halloween. Yeah.
I mean, if a Clockwork Orange came out today, it would be an A24 horror movie.
Correct.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Caligula? So it's just the one. Then.
Caligula.
Say that again.
Caligula.
Caligula.
Yeah, like what Mark said.
Bless you.
Yeah, I've seen so many of these movies in the past 5.5 years that he's been in, you know, like Zombex.
He was in
Psycho
Killer
Nash.
That I watched this week too.
Oh, great.
For a whole 5 minutes, just like this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It's just, you know, with Cat People, was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Cat
People, I like that one.
He did one good film and then 100 other terrible ones.
No, true. Very true.
And he keeps doing them.
Yeah, I feel like every movie he does, he's in it for the money.
Paycheck.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that
character.
Dr. McCann really chews up quite a lot of scenery. although I was thrilled that she got fired or put on probation or whatever from the hospital. Because now maybe she can go out and do some grocery shopping and have more than just condiments in her refrigerator. The lighting at the local hospital is atrocious. And then my next bullet is, and the county hospital is even darker. There's that scene where there's the girl with the broken leg sitting in her bed. And there's like a murder taking place, a violent murder. In the bathroom that her room is in, and she can't hear a thing.
She had headphones on.
The amount of damage they were doing in that bathroom, she would have heard it. Let's
candles.
Just face it. The best thing in this entire film, hands down, Peter Boyle.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Peter Boyle, there would be no redeeming qualities, in my opinion.
What?
There was the scene with they were standing like in a waiting area and somebody had a glass of water and blood starts dripping from the ceiling into their glass.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, my God. All right. So when this movie came out, Silence of the Lambs was 4 years prior. They had to have taken that from the elevator scene in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
That woman terrified me with that gun, how she was running around with her finger on the trigger. I'm like, lady, you're going to kill somebody you don't intend on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the ending, too, that they put 20 rounds in that surgeon, and he was still, and it couldn't kill him, and he was still strong enough to escape from the morgue, kill a guy, and then still hunt down Dr. McCann in bed.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. Hard to believe. I couldn't believe it.
I'm looking through Malcolm McDowell's IMDb now, and he's done a shit ton of movies. Like, every year he's in multiple movies. He says yes to every single thing, I think, that is given to him.
I think he's a poor man's Christian Slater. Because Christian Slater did 12 movies in, like, 2014, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Four movies in 2014?
No, he did 12 movies, I think, in
what?
2014. Let me get back to my clean Slater notes.
Jesus Christ.
In 2012, he had 14 credits, 11 movies, and 3 TV series.
Wow.
That's a busy
one. That man works.
Yeah. What's Malcolm McDowell's asking price?
He was $100,000 for the surgeon.
$100,000. I wonder
you could get him to sing you Happy Birthday on Cameo for like $100.
Yeah, probably.
For $100?
Yeah.
What about Corey Feldman?
$50.
Easy.
Yeah, 50.
He'll pay you.
Or he'll pay you.
Fuck off.
Damn
guys.
It, Joe, you got to it quicker.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Catherine, what'd you think?
Yeah, this was my least favorite. Again,
what the fuck?
Probably a lot of it was because I couldn't see anything. My very first note was I can't even read the opening credits.
Wow.
We're opening credits?
Right. Could barely see them. I loved, there's a scene where they've got the doctor and the students and they're diagnosing patients and they diagnose the sick patient and then just walk away and don't do anything about it. I liked how it started. I felt like, you know, having the little boy and the stuff with the lollipops was fun. I think this movie could have been, I would have enjoyed it more if it had been campier. Like going a little bit more in the dentist or Dr. Giggles direction, I think would have been fun. And what was this restaurant they go to with beluga whales?
Like, what was that? That was crazy. What?
That's not a thing.
No.
What do you mean? That's the thing in Mission Impossible.
Not with the beluga whales.
Yeah, beluga whales is crazy. Like, maybe it was like at the Shedd Aquarium or something like that.
You know, I heard a blue whale's asshole can expand up to, his butthole can expand up to 3.5 feet wide, making Jesus. It the second Jeez. Biggest asshole on the planet.
Shut up.
After who?
Not man. Saying.
Appreciate That's that, Joe.
And then, they had one quote I wrote down, which was the patient was blasting her rap music, and the nurse comes in and tells her to turn it down. She's other patients on this floor want to listen to Bon Jovi.
Oh god!
I thought that was funny. But
the rap song at the end was for credits was great.
Yeah, it was a banger.
It was a banger.
But Matt, what did you think about the surgeon?
I thought the opening made it look like this was going to be a real banger, though. I thought the opening was really shot well, and it was kind of cool looking, and it was sort of black. I guess it was black and white, or was it just dark?
I think it was black and white.
It was black and white.
Off-color black and white.
Yeah, it was unusual, but it was like desaturated or whatever. But I thought, this is opening up pretty well. The lightning and the thunder and the camera movement and everything. I thought, well, this is pretty good, and it went downhill from there. That fucking baboon was crazy as hell. I'm sorry. This Remar guy, he can't act. He just can't. He must be a nice guy or something because he gets a lot of stuff, but he cannot act. So then, this has happened in a few times in horror movies that we've watched where the killer locks someone in a room. And that's not how doors work. Like, there aren't many, like, especially at a hospital, you can't lock someone in a room. Like, they have an unlock on the inside. Like, you can get out of a room. It's locking somebody out of the room, sure, but you can't lock somebody in unless you have control of the environment and you've made it that way. But this was in a hospital. There's a lot of blue lights in the facility. I felt like there was a lot of use of blue light all over the place, but it could just be that we just saw the shittiest version of this possible. And then I at one point I wrote, wow, this movie has some really dark scenes. And I couldn't tell, as it went on, it got darker and darker and just, you couldn't see half of what was happening. The sexual energy, the woman can act, the Remar can't act. And this is a pretty good cast in this movie. And these are the two worst actors and they have the two biggest parts.
Yeah.
And then I said, I really need this break because I'm having such a hard time focusing on movies right now.
And this what didn't, break?
Like a break. Let's see. I can't see shit in this movie. Did he suck her snot out with that needle? Like, it looked like he sucked her snot out.
It did look that way.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I thought he was pumping her with air or something.
He pulled out. All I know is that it looked like mucus of some kind that he pulls the needle out. They're synchronized sex swimming. Check.
Right.
You can have some synchronized sex. Oh, as bad as the pool scene from Showgirls.
That's what I was thinking, man.
Somehow worse than that scene. Moving, and then like at a certain point, they're not sure if the killer is still in the hospital, and their solution is to move all of the patients. Your most efficient way of handling this? Would you say
just turn the lights on?
Right? That too. Can we turn the lights on now? We better move all.
Evacuate everyone in the dark.
Evacuate everyone in the dark.
I hate this place.
Yeah. What if the killer walks out with them because we can't see anyone? They'll never do that. Yeah, and then my last note was this actress refuses to move her lips while she's speaking. She just didn't want to move her. Yeah, that's true. Apparently, she was practicing her ventriloquist skills, but this was by far my least favorite of the three, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
I give it 1.5 cuts.
Yeah. Oh, let's move on to our final film, which is The Dentist from 1996. An extremely successful dentist goes off the deep end after he catches his wife cheating on him. This was directed by Brian Usna, who wrote some of the Reanimator movies, did Honey, I Shrunk the Kid movies, among many, many, many things. One of the writers was Stuart Gordon. Also of the same Reanimator movies, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Dolls, and again, so many, many, many things. Starring the wonderful Corbin Burnson, famous for L.A. Law. We're bringing that up again. We could do an L.A. Law episode.
We should have done L.A. Law. It's horror, yeah.
Yeah.
And Earl Bowen is in this as one of the IRS agent, who I always think of him as in the Terminator movies.
Yeah.
And you get a nice early appearance of Mark Ruffalo. Which was a nice surprise. Mark Ruffalo. So let's see. Let's start with Joe. Joe, what did you think of The Dentist?
I think that's one lucky pool man. I would have cleaned her pool too. You know, there was so... the movie was so bizarre. At the beginning of the film, I couldn't tell what was in his head, what was his imagination, and what was real. So, like, I wasn't sure if he killed the pool guy, if he killed his wife, if he killed both, if he killed neither. I did like that nickel-plated 380 Walther that he had, though. Nice gun. I did notice that, you know, we'd given big rave reviews for Obsession being able to pull off a movie like that for $750,000 budget. This one was only done for $700,000, and they probably put it all in lights because we could actually see this film. See it. So take that, Obsession.
Yeah.
I did think Mark Ruffalo's character was a little creepy because he seemed to be hitting on an 11-year-old girl in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Like obsessively, like insistently hitting on her.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the filmmakers might have been a little pervy about her too, because I'm
not blaming Mark Ruffalo. Yeah. It's his character.
No, what I mean is like the whole film, I think, was pervy because they had her dressed like in an outfit that wasn't right for her age in the next scene.
Well, that's how they dressed back then. That was the thing.
I still think she was on the wrong side of Forever 21.
Yeah,
exactly. For sure. Outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the Mark Ruffalo's talent in air quotes, the girl who he's bringing to the dentist. Her name is April Showers, and her shoes fall off getting a filling taken care of. So anyway, I did like the Puccini that they played in the waiting room. It was very nice. It was from Tosca. The Earl Bowen character, I don't care what movie he's in, I can't stand the guy. And he's supposed to bother me. He does a wonderful job. He is completely typecast. Mm-hmm. But his whole IRS blackmail scam seems pretty water thin.
It does. Dude, and I'm not sure. Wait, you're doing like, that to get your debt-free dental work? Like, yeah, and right? It's not, I'm like, it doesn't seem he like said he's...
He said his business manager takes care of the taxes, so go after him.
Right.
You know, the worst case scenario, he's going to have to pay a fine. Big deal. He's not going to need to give you like $20,000 in free dental work.
Right. No, I mean, if he just charged him, he could have paid off his debt for the IRS, yeah. Probably.
There seemed to be a lot of editing continuity mistakes in this film, like the other two. You know, I would have thought that Corbin Burnson's teeth were just okay. But I would have figured, like, for the film, they would have given him, like, perfect teeth or veneers or something.
Right.
Because his character is so obsessive and his perfectionist with right. that. Mm-hmm. To the point where he's mentally, like, looking at his wife's teeth or other people's teeth and thinking that they're gross and disgusting. I would have thought he would have looked in the mirror more. I just, as a record, I do hate all dentists. They're all cheap bastards. Having worked for General Dentistry. So I was not a fan of his character at all, but that has nothing to do with the film. It was really, it seemed like a really long 90 minutes on this film. So yeah, I liked it better than The Surgeon though, because I could see it.
Right. Ned, what did you think of The Dentist?
Yeah, this one, I mean, I don't know. It's between this and Dr.
Giggles. Surgeon?
Dr. Giggles. I kind of feel like they're even. I don't know that I liked one more than the other. I thought that, I don't know. The whole thing where at first I was like, wait a minute, his hygienist has a choir robe on or whatever, but I guess they have themes in the room and they have to dress up like it. I don't know, there's like a tiki room or a jungle room or something, and then there's a heaven room, I guess. Is that what that's supposed to be? Like a heaven room?
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. I don't know if I'd want people thinking you're about to die and go to heaven when they're at the dentist, but
hey, quick question. Yeah. Her name was April Showers, right?
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Because when I'm looking at the IMDb page, it says her name was April Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
Oh, maybe
that's not right, is it?
Oh, yeah, that's what it says in Letterboxd, too.
Is that it was April Rain?
Yeah, R-E-I-G-N, too, not even
I
like,
could have sworn when watching the movie they said April Showers, because I wrote that down real quick.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to check.
Yeah.
But, it's just a weird movie. I think that dentist office building though is in Burbank.
It's the Aramark building right by the one? AMC. The Aramark building. It's downtown. It's like a First Street.
Oh, that's right. It's over
and
there.
Olive.
The media center area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I knew I'd seen that building, but
that was another mate.
Because that one round area of the outside is very distinct.
What is it about Burbank? Like, why is so many like things happening in Burbank? Because
all the studios are here.
All the studios.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a bunch of studios right here or around here. Warner Brothers' big studio lot is here, and Universal's is
just down the road.
It's not technically in Burbank, but it's right there. And then NBC Studios is right there, and Disney has studios here.
Nickelodeon is here.
Really?
Nickelodeon is here. Yeah, there's tons.
You guys, when I come out in November, you guys going to have to give me a tour or something.
Yeah.
Show you around.
Yeah, we'll show you around. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you know, and then people keep confronting him. If, you know, like, I would not have, if I was the dental hygienist and I suspected he is doing something to people, I don't think I'd stay after hours to confront him. I'd probably say, you know what? I got to get going. I'm not feeling so well. Go home. Call the police. Don't confront the guy. I mean, if you think he's up to no good, what are you going to confront him for? He's got nothing to lose. And then at a certain point, that teenager comes walking down the hall scared, and I don't know why she was doing it. Wasn't she? She was just, they called her in to get it's your turn now. And so she's supposed to, but she's walking down the hall like she's scared. And then I felt like the whole movie was, it was trying really hard to be kind of artsy with everything it was doing. It just kind of fell flat. It was nice seeing Mark Ruffalo. He's good. And this was just before I met him. I think I've mentioned this before. I was in an acting class with him when I first moved out here in 99. And like a year later, he got, what was the movie that like made his break? It was, You Can Count on Me, I think is what it was called. You can with Laura Linney. Anyway, that was his big thing. And then I didn't see him again. He switched. He didn't take the classes anymore. He switched to individual acting lessons with that coach, who is Bruno Kirby's brother, John Kirby. That was our acting coach. Yeah. But it took me back because he looked exactly like he did in this movie. I didn't love it. It was about the same as Dr. Giggles. It was all right. I didn't hate it. It was entertaining enough, but I will never watch any of these movies again. Guaranteed.
Mark, what did you think about The Dentist?
Hey, I liked it. He did. I thought it was fun. I mean, it. Corbin Benson. I mean, it kind of reminded me of like an American Psycho, Patrick Bateman. You know, just the way he wanted his, you know, clothes very clean and whatnot. And Joe, I do agree that, you know, maybe he should have been taking care of his teeth a little bit better. But I do think if he had like veneers or something, it might have looked a little bit too kind of weird, and it would have been maybe too distracting. I think maybe make it too corny. But it was a corny movie. Let's be real. The blowjob scene was absolutely a dream sequence. Was absolutely incredible and absolutely just jarring to see. I was not expecting something like that to happen. It was out of the box when he just grabbed his wife's head and just slammed it down, and he's pointing the gun to the pool man's face. That scene went on for way too long. Way too long. It was awkward for me. I was just like, all right, you know, let's wrap this up or something, because it was just so crazy. Just, and that was like at the beginning of the film.
Well, I did have one note that it seemed like the wife never changed out of that robe. She was naked under the robe, and every scene with her, she was in that robe.
Yeah, I mean, she had a beautiful body, that's for sure. Mark Ruffalo. I did not expect to see Mark Ruffalo in it. So I was very concentrated to see like how his acting was before he was famous. Because it's really fun to see like, you know, big stars at the beginning of their career and whatnot. And
like before they were famous?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Before they were famous.
Amazing.
We should do a show about that.
Right? Yeah.
Be a good theme.
And it would be. But he's actually kind of good. I mean, he just, from what he had to work with, that you can tell, you know, that young kid had talent. I thought there was some great practical effects, you know, with the insurance guy and his long and, you know, and how he put his jaw unhinged and looked really painful. And I loved, you know, when he was just drilling into the neighbor's wife's, you know, molar and just destroying it, which brings me to another part I liked about this film was the assistants in this film. They were really level-headed assistants, and, you know, they weren't stupid. They weren't corny and whatnot. And they were questioning, you know, him. It's like, you know, are you okay and whatnot? And I enjoyed those two assistants. Now, the host or the receptionist, now she was an idiot. She's like, nothing gets past me and whatnot, like leaves, you know, the room. And she was not the brightest, but I really enjoyed it. And right at the end of it, you know, he's like in the cell. I know there's a dentist too. What did Mark do? Saw the dentist too. and I watched it.
Oh, no.
I did. I did. Clint Howard's in it. It's way worse than The Dentist, but I really wanted to go still on this journey with Corbin Benson. Yeah, I really wanted to go on this journey with Corbin Benson because he really enjoyed this film. He loved playing this part that he came back for, I believe, less money just to do this this role again. That's how much Corbin Benson loved this part, this role. So yeah, I watched it. It was great.
I would like to go on record and say that the best portrayal of a dentist on film, hands down, Steve Martin, Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
By the way, Mark, it's Corbin Burnson. Yeah. He's killing me. Yeah.
Burnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corbin Burnson.
Burnson.
Yeah.
What was I say?
Benson.
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 Oh, shit.
As in Benson.
Benson.
I don't know what
good.
What are you talking show. About? There's a TV show, Benson.
Called Benson.
Never heard of it.
Jesus.
What do you mean, Jesus?
Jesus.
What the hell's Benson?
Benson was with, who was it? Who was the actor in Benson?
Robert
I think Jerry Seinfeld had his first role, I think, on television in Benson.
It was Robert Guillaume.
That's right.
Oh, Robert Guillaume. That's right, yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
He's an actor.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent. Well, perfect. Yeah, just two little things I had that we hadn't talked about for this one. The girl that's in there to get her braces off. Isn't that something you go to an orthodontist for, not a dentist?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's true.
that is true. Shit.
And then you've got the scene where the dentist and his wife are on their anniversary date, and he has her in the dental chair. It's like, ooh, who knew dentistry could be so sexy?
Yeah.
But, not me.
But yes, I agree. This movie, you know, I agree. I put it at Dr. Giggles level.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'm glad I saw it. Probably won't watch it again anytime soon.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm glad we watched these so I could say I've done it.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wait, Benson! That's the theme song. Dun, 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 dun.
That's I Dream a Dream. Dun, dun,
that's I Dream a Dream.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now do silver
just found
spoons.
Your bumper.
Yeah, do silver
here
spoons.
We are face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Spoons.
Yeah, that's silver spoon.
That's a great. How come we never brought up that with theme songs? Oh my god, that's a great one.
Theme songs of TV shows?
Yeah, that
aren't horror.
What are you talking about? We just did. We believe it or not, like American Hero. Come on.
Right, Perfect we should Strangers. Do a whole episode. I mean, yeah, if we...
That'd be amazing.
What are we going to do an episode?
That for the next episode is just...
Horror movies
great TV
of
theme songs that have nothing to do with horror films.
Yeah, right.
Should exactly. I put that on the trivia?
Horror movies of Mr. actors Belvedere. Who were in 80s TV shows.
There you go.
Yeah.
With and the theme good songs. Theme songs.
And then, okay. and then I'll do the theme song, and then you guys have to guess,
connect all the dots.
Connect and all the dots.
And they'll all sound like I Dream of Jeannie.
No,
the Hogan
the
family
Benson
with Sandy
sound
Duncan.
Like, I Dream of Jeannie is... Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun,
Charles dun, in dun, charge dun, 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 of our days and
our oh my
Charles
God.
In charge. My two dads.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Mis dos hombres. Dos padres, I guess.
All right. Well,
on that note.
Our next episode is our very special Malort episode. So stay tuned for that one. We're,
Malort, my God.
Yeah, I think we are ready to roll with that one. And it should size up to be quite an episode where each of us have purchased a bottle of Malort. And we are going to have an episode where we hand over the keys to the car to Joe or to Mark.
It's and to me.
He is going to do... trivia, and then I suppose there's going to be something where we wind up having to take shots of Malort.
Responsible drinking only.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Malort, it is a Chicago citywide hazing ritual where you drink it because it tastes so awful, and they get unsuspecting victims to do it. So like Mark me. And Joe and I have already partaken of Malort, but Catherine has not. Time. Yeah, she has not partook. And so,
excited.
This will be her first effort opportunity to do that. We also have a big plan for some special guests, including friend of the show, Brian, who I'm sure is going to have some kind of role involved, vital role, essential role, having to do with this episode, I'm sure.
I got some surprises, too, coming for you.
Nice. Can't wait. Cannot wait. So tune in next time for the Malort episode. We're not going to be watching any movies between now and then, so you don't need to worry about any homework for yourself. So just sit. This will be an episode where you'll sit back and relax. And also, we're going
to get a bottle of Malort.
Right?
Get yourself
drink along with us.
Get yourself. Shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every time practice one of drinking. Us has to drink. Yeah,
you should take one.
That's you should great. Take one anytime one of us has to. And then. Malort episode, something else. What was there? Was something else I was going to say. I don't remember now. So,
sure to spay and neuter your pets.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it, right? We don't have anything else. I know there was something else I meant to say, and I cannot think of what it is.
We got a clean slate right now. We're all.
We're all
done. Submit your films to the Slater. Horror Film Festival.
The clean Slater.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Submit
your short film to the Sugar Mint CineScare Horror Film Festival. Check it out. Go check it out.
Submit your shorts.
Yeah. Submit your shorts.
Check out our merch.
Yeah. Check out our merch as well on www.cinescarehorror.com. And I guess until next time, we will see you
next time.
Next time.
Good night, everybody. Get a bottle of Malort, man. Yeah. Just get a bottle of Malort for next episode. It's going to be great.
Yep, that's right. So here we go.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save the square.
Dun 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 dun. Da-na-na-na-na.